Shalom, and God bless all those who come to the Lord and who love His name. Brother Ryan with you once again. And in speaking to the glory of the Almighty, He alone is worthy to be praised in the manner of worship. You can always praise somebody in the sense of saying something that reflects a good character trait, or to give a compliment for some personal achievement. But praise of worship goes to God alone. To He who made the heavens and the earth and the great waters of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20 that bring forth abundantly after their own kind. God has planted the seed that brings forth after its own kind in nature and in the animal kingdom, whether of land or sea, and certainly within we of the human race. And He has planted the spiritual seed within His word of life that brings forth after its own kind as well. As proof of that comes in what the Master said, "For God is a spirit, and they who worship Him must do so in spirit and in truth," as God is literally the spirit of truth. So above all things, find truth in the person of Jesus. And we've been speaking to the subject of Jesus as He's found in the prophetic Psalms. And we'll continue with that thought as Jesus taught the short parable, if you'll recall, the pearl of great price in Matthew chapter 13. You give all that you have to obtain that in the seeking of the kingdom of heaven. Put your whole being into finding Christ in His word. It's the most important thing that any of us will ever do with our lives, no matter who we are, whether we're rich or poor, famous or unknown to the world, in a position of great authority or just working a humble job. Whoever you are and whatever you do in your life, do all that you can to obtain Christ, because that's where we draw our sense of worth from that glory which is above. So here in our direct subject, we're finding Jesus in the Psalms, but His life is made known from Genesis beginning to Revelation ending. It's in all the Psalms, every scripture, from the prophets down to the apostles, from the heavens to the earth, from Alpha to Omega. And the whole point of everything is to find Jesus, always, in all scriptures, as existence itself depends upon this. Someone had to do the math and the programming to create the universe, and then the life that inhabits that creation. Who did that? Everyone in every job, business, trade, occupation knows that someone has to do those things in order to exist. Well, apply that to the universe of the heavens above us and the first heaven of our atmosphere, and that will tell you that there's a conscious power at work to bring it all about. Those things are a witness, and they tell you that God exists. But to find the person, you need the Bible to know the way of His will. And you could write a biography of the life of Jesus taken from the text of the Psalms alone, should one choose to do so. His birth, commission, calling, death, arisal from the tomb, and His eventual return to rule, they're all in there. But of course, you need the light of the Gospels to fully understand them. But the events, words, and sacrifice, they're in the Psalms, inspired hundreds of years, even up to the Davidic Psalms, composed 1,000 years before Jesus, Messiah. They were all written to inspire us. So we're focusing on some of those scriptures that speak of Christ to show His glory and His dominion. As the mysteries of God truly are great, and it's commonly said that the Lord moves in mysterious ways. Well, He does move in mysterious ways as to our way of thinking, but God's ways, they're known to Him. They're not mysterious to He who ordered the universe. God sees the end result of all that He creates, and He's told us so prophetically. It's just that it's so far advanced from our own reasonings. But as Ecclesiastes 3 maintains, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And so there is. It just takes some passage of time, some revelation from above, and of course the bringing to pass of all that has to be inspired and written in order to see it. So let's start our scripture reading in Psalms chapter 16, as there's treasure here in Psalm 16, that of the fine gold of the Spirit. This psalm, Peter will quote these words in Acts chapter 2 in days far in advance of when they were written. But upon seeing what all this meant, then Peter declared it. As we know from the gospel account, the apostles at the first, they understood little about what Jesus would have to endure on the cross, took the resurrection to make them see all the truth of it. But when you see the truth, you declare it. And so the Psalms declares to us in Psalm 16 in the 7th verse and on down, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Well, all our hopes in the resurrection. And then it's on to better things along the way of the path of life, where there are pleasures forevermore. In verse 11, of which Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. This being one of the most recognized portions of the Psalms that deals directly with the Holy One, with the life of Christ. But from the first verse, the plea is to preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Jesus did that upon the cross. And the Almighty God heard that prayer, that song, this song that contained in Psalm 16. As he hears all the prayers and petitions of the saints that rise up to glory, where they're kept in the golden vials, the full brimming bowls of the beautiful fragrances, which are the prayers of the saints in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. And that's a comforting thought. And given this psalm, given in terms of David's own existence and his experience, but there is another level of righteousness beyond that, as Jesus would be the greater fulfillment. He would be the son of David in the sense of a covenant between the Lord and the ancient king who was appointed over Israel. And the greater fulfillment is always in Christ. So it forms a pattern here for us to notice. And verse 10 is key, because Christ would be obedient to the trial before Pilate, and then obedient to the punishment of the cross. But he arose, as the scripture says, he would not see corruption. As this saying is gold to us, to know that there's power over the grave, Jesus would arise before corruption of decay would set in. Just as Lazarus did at the command of come forth of St. John 11:35, Jesus would come forth by command of what was written, that which was written and spoken here in Psalm 16. And at that, to die no more. As Lazarus, he had to undergo the process and once again and die. But Jesus arose to die no more. So the Lord's at my right hand, a statement showing where the power is, such as Stephen the martyr made in Acts chapter 7, verse 56, as he saw Jesus in the power and the authority position. The true power is in the resurrection. And not until that power was fulfilled in Christ could our fullness of joy be won, which is contained in the 11th verse of Psalm 16. Not until Jesus bowed his head and said, "It is finished," could that point be reached. It had to be the power over the grave to be shown. There's no fullness of joy without that. And ever since Abel's blood stained the ground and cried out for the retribution of the injustice done to him by a murderous act, of a necessity there had to be a triumph over the grave. And this is a showing of that victory. And nobody made up this story to fit Christ into it. The finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls shows that we have authentic scriptures from before the time of Christ. So those things are laid to rest. And these words, they were set in place in order to fulfill the pathway to life. It was going to be shown in a person. And this hope of expectation was alive, waiting for the time to be born among us. That's way beyond wishful thinking. This is gospel hope being thought upon and expressed, which has yea and amen certainty to it. And no psalm holds the more about Jesus pattern of prophecy than this one that we're turning to, which is Psalms chapter 22. And as we read it from the first verse, you'll recognize this from the gospel account of Jesus upon the cross. And it reads, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? The soul poured out speaks to all of us. So much of the longing for deliverance contained in these fateful prophetic sayings. For Jesus would remember these words upon the cross and quote them in his agony. Or was it actually more of a case of David quoting Jesus from being given prophetic inspiration to see 1,000 years ahead of time, seeing beyond his own day and age? Now that's an interesting thought. Well, I think that's certainly possible. What was it that Jesus once said of Abraham? He said in St. John 8:58, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, saw it and was glad. All the prophets see ahead by knowledge and inspiration imparted from above, and forward vision such as this transcends all boundaries of space and time. God exists in past, present, and future all at once, simultaneously. It's just beyond my ability to even describe how such a thing is possible. But I know this, that nothing is impossible in Christ. To experience all that we do, the showing of God's purpose is written, foreseen from the very beginning, as a witness of the Lord's all-encompassing presence. So the pivotal moment of Jesus at Calvary, that's pre-recorded. It was written here for all to see. That is a marvel. It is miraculous. The Master himself, he even felt the human emotion of being forsaken while looking above for his deliverance. It's incredible when you put it together with Psalm 16. As Jesus, he was a full participant in our sorrows. Yet the despair of the moment turns to faithfulness in verses 3 and 4, which says, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. Well, that faithfulness makes the Lord holy. God is always found in his word. He is his word. And he does inhabit the praises of his people. To the praises of Israel here in the Old Testament, and to the Gentile Israel of faith in the New Testament. And that's very real, as the Lord is non-physical, of no material substance. And the non-physical is where he lives, for he is a spirit, the very spirit of truth. And the entire psalm, every line upon line precept joined to righteous precept, tells us of the sacrifice for sin that all had to be done to fulfill all righteousness. From the time of Eden, that was so. Even when God gave Adam and Eve coats of skins to cover themselves up. That necessitated the death of the sacrificial animal to do that, but it would take, that could never atone for sins. It would take Christ's sacrifice to cover sins. And here at Psalms 22 from verses 7 and 8, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. In our day, we have the telescopes that peer out in the darkness of space that God created, the heavens of Genesis 1:1. These devices, they see the distant past as they collect the particles of light to form a picture. God's vision sees the future as well as the past and the present. His light collects a picture of what is to come. And here in Psalms 22, this is the scene of the cross, the entire psalm. What was it that they said of Jesus when he cried out, my God, upon that day, misunderstanding the words of Psalms 22:1, when they thought he was crying out for Elias? They cried out, let's see if Elijah will come and save him. While it was that they scorned him, gave him vinegar and gall to drink. But the hope within Christ was far different from their attitudes at that day. The faith that raised him up is what we call out for in this, our day. And Christ is always there. He's in his word, and he's alive forevermore. And may the Lord of all creation go with you and grant the peace that passes understanding. Amen, everyone.